Good health is a crown worn by the healthy that only the ill can see. Your health really is your wealth. Join us for the next hour as we explore disease and attaining and maintaining good health. This is Dis-Chem Medical Monday, brought to you by Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
And good morning to you. I'm Kathy Kalist. Well, this is Dis-Chem Medical Monday. And thank goodness, things seem to have cooled down a lot in Johannesburg. Whew, what a time this has been, hasn't it? Gosh, everybody just seems so hangry and just, I think the heat does that. Makes us very, very intolerant. All right, so I'll tell you a funny story as we lead into our topic this morning. I have a wonderful producer. His name is Slick. Well, I call him Slick. Harry Seleke. He's a legend. And I love working with him. And last night I got home pretty late and I open up. You know, radio presenters have something called a runner. A runner is a minute-by-minute account of your show. If you think it's, you know, you get on and you just talk behind the microphone, well, no, that's not how it is. All your research is in your runner and all your references and all of that stuff. And I get this topic. And it's called vaginal atrophy. And I'm thinking, vaginal atrophy? Is that related to anything else? Okay. Long story short, it's vaginal dryness. And, you know, at 11:30 last night, I couldn't call my producer and say, look, this isn't really an... You can't talk for an hour about vaginal dryness. Maybe you and your friends can, but I'm not sure that with a medical expert we can talk about vaginal dryness for an hour. Yeah, men talking about it very different to women talking about it. So that's how we came to, I said we need to change up the topic. And let's open it up to everything you wanted to know about the vagina but was too afraid to ask. And joining me to answer these questions is Dr. Heather Blaylock. She's a medical doctor with a special interest in sexual health. Good morning. Not the first time we've spoken. How are you?
I know. Thank you for having me back. And you know what? We can actually talk for an hour about vaginal dryness.
Really? Why is that?
Really? Well, because it is encompassing of a lot more than just dryness and potentially difficult penetration and sex. So vaginal dryness can be related to hormone changes with aging. So we know the perimenopause, postmenopause, pregnancy, breastfeeding, especially breastfeeding. Women who take the oral contraceptive pill can experience vaginal dryness. Women who are undergoing any kind of chemotherapy or radiotherapy to any part of the body, but specifically the pelvis, can experience vaginal dryness and what we call atrophy. So atrophy really means a thinning of the vaginal wall tissue.
Right. Well, when one thinks about muscular atrophy, that's what happens to your muscles. If you don't use your muscles, you know, perhaps somebody has been, you know, laid up in bed for a very, very long time, then your muscles atrophy or atrophy, don't they? They become, your muscles become very thin and you start losing muscle mass. That's what happens.
Yes, that's what happens with muscle. And so the vagina is actually a muscular tube. So it's an organ. The vagina cannot be seen from the outside. What we see on the outside is the vulva. And the vulva can also experience this thinning, atrophy and dryness also with the same examples that I've given. So oral contraceptive pill, women who are breastfeeding, cancer treatment, menopause, certain illnesses such as lichen sclerosis, which is a systemic illness but can be localized on the vulva. And so what happens if you have this vaginal vulval atrophy is that if you are having intercourse, you can have painful intercourse. So either superficial pain, so that is more related to the vulva area and to penetration. And then also we can have deeper sexual pain. So when the penis or whatever is inserted into the vagina, because of the dryness, there is a discomfort. So this is why we have so many amazing lubes on the market now. And don't be shy to use them with your partner. The best ones really are silicon-based because they don't dry out and become sticky. They have a lovely glide. And don't put anything on the vulva or the vagina that has any fragrances, additives, because those can all cause problems, such as localized allergy reactions.
Right. I mean,
and can disturb the pH of the area. So the pH of the area is also very important to maintain. Otherwise, other nasty bacteria can take over, and then we can experience something called bacterial vaginosis.
All right. We definitely need to talk about all of this. But I actually just want to remind our listeners that my guest this morning is Dr. Heather Blaylock. She's a medical doctor with a special interest in sexual health. Now, what I want to do is I actually want to open it up to, well, let's just put it out there that if you have questions, anything and everything, whether you are male or female, anything and everything that you've ever wanted to know about the vagina, this is the time to ask. Don't sign your name. I'm going to ask you please not to sign your name, just as a rule. But if you have your questions, send them through. And you can send them through on SMS 34519. Those SMSs are charged at 1.50. You can send a Telegram message if you have the app. And that number is 061-895-1019. You know, all the other platforms, Twitter and Facebook and all of those are quite public. But what I'm saying is I won't give your name under any circumstances. Any questions that you have about the vagina, but you were too afraid to ask, now's the time to ask. Okay, my guest is Dr. Heather Blaylock. And this is Dis-Chem Medical Monday. Let me tell you that Dis-Chem Wellness Clinic for Adults offers convenient and professional care to help you manage health risks. Whether you're having your regular wellness checks, such as blood pressure or cholesterol, Dis-Chem Wellness Clinics offer you a broad range of health screening services, including female health screening with pap smears, family planning, and pregnancy screening. It's fast, it's affordable, and it's done with care. Find your nearest Dis-Chem Wellness Clinic inside Dis-Chem Pharmacies. Better health starts here.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
I'm Kathy Kayla, and my guest this morning is Dr. Heather Blaylock. She's a medical doctor. She has a special interest in sexual health, and that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the vagina. Anything and everything that you've ever wanted to know. Don't be afraid. Don't be embarrassed. I'm not going to read your name. And please believe me that by tomorrow morning, I won't even remember your question. So, you know, somehow we become like goldfish, the things that we're not meant to remember. And send them through on text. 34519 is the text line, or 061-895-1019. You could even use a friend said or a friend wants to know. Okay, but let's have those serious conversations. Okay, so the first myth that I want to check out with you is that vaginas need special cleaning.
Absolutely not.
Oh.
Please do not use, so you want to clean your vulva genital area with very mild soap and water. Remember, we have to maintain that pH. So as soon as we do anything to interrupt that balance, we interrupt the biome, so the bacteria and fungi that are normally living in that area to make us healthy. We then get an overgrowth of baddies and can cause problems such as burning, bad odors, etc. And then we have to treat that either with antifungal or with antibiotics. So no douching, no special stuff up there, just water and a very mild soap.
Just like the rest and of your body, basically.
And actually, you mustn't be putting anything up into the vagina. So you're basically just washing the outside, you know, your vulval area.
That's so interesting, because I remember years ago reading about women who were encouraged to put plain yogurt on a tampon in order to encourage, I kid you not, you know, healthy bacteria to grow inside the uterus. And I just thought, nah, food and internal, you know, internalizing food in such a way is probably not a good idea.
Yeah, so you know, our plain yogurt do contain a lot of bacteria, or what we would take in orally as a probiotic, for example, that then reestablishes your normal either gut or vulva-vaginal biome. I'm not sure that you need to put it all the way up. No, maybe just eat it.
Well, that would make sense.
Really, you really don't want to be messing with anything. And so even if you're using tampons or sanitary pads, they must not have any fragrance or any additive things in them. So you want them as organic, fragrance-free, neutral as possible.
Yes. All right. If you've got any questions, send them through. 34519 is the text line, or 061-895-1019. Otherwise, go and download the Chai FM app from chaifm.com, and you'll have, at one click, you can contact the studio. My guest is Dr. Heather Blaylock, talking about hygiene, talking about smells and tastes and things. Do all vaginas smell the same?
No.
Why?
Well, because we're all individual beings, and I think even like our sweat smells the same, our pheromones would be the same. A man's genital area smells different from person to person.
Could the smells and tastes be influenced by diet?
Yes. Yes, they can. And we especially know, so this is more research has obviously been done in men with this, of the taste of semen. So, you know, for example, pineapple is good.
No, the pineapple thing is true. What? Okay, for listeners who don't know, please will you just elaborate on the pineapple story?
Oh, no. So it's just if you're consuming certain foodstuffs, it can have an influence on, for example, the taste of semen. So they have done studies and experiments with that. So we know that pineapple is good, but, for example, garlic is bad.
And smoking. Apparently smoking is not good either.
You know, smoking is not good for a whole lot of things.
Yes.
I'm not sure the impact it would have on the taste of the semen, but it would maybe, it's definitely going to give you erectile dysfunction at some stage. With a woman, remember your smoking is causing a vasoconstriction. And it also, so there's less blood flow potentially going to all of your areas. And it also decreases your cell turnover. Okay, so your collagen is less healthy. Your fibroblasts turnover time is slower. So the potential of you having, you know, women who smoke, their skin looks much older than they normally are. So you can imagine it, smoking is having an effect on the whole of the insides of our body because of the vasoconstriction mostly.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's got nicotine, cyanide, carbon monoxide, and those are only, you know, a couple of the carcinogens that we, you know, that we can name.
Yeah. A message coming through.
Also,
yes.
Also, the smells can also be related to a person's general hygiene. If they are active, so if they are doing a lot of exercise, but then if they are doing a lot of exercise, are they then showering afterwards, or are they sitting for long periods of time at the coffee shop in sweaty gym clothes? You know, so just your general hygiene.
Yeah, just think about that. Just think about that. You want to shower before you grab that coffee. Definitely.
Yeah, you want to shower before you grab that coffee.
And if it's been hot weather like now, shower more than once. Shower versus bath, is there a better way?
No.
Makes no difference.
As long as you're clean. As long as you're clean down there.
Okay.
Yeah. Just if you're bathing and you're putting in, for example, a bubble bath and stuff, just to also be aware that that can also cause vulval irritation and sometimes even bladder infections.
Yeah, I remember like, you know, at home we were never allowed to have bubble baths and things like that, especially with bath oils, because that was like a no-no passed down from generation to generation through experience, I guess.
Yeah. And then also, you know, the whole manscaping pubic hair story. So in your genital area, we have sweat glands like under our armpits. And so the genital area is prone to be, I don't want to say smelly, but to, you know, to be odorous. And then when people are removing all the hair from the area, I think that, you know, it also changes, can also change smells.
But that's cleaner, right? I mean, it is cleaner. Yeah. It's cleaner, more hygienic, yes.
Yeah, it's all personal choice, though, because there are some beliefs that pubic hair does have a functional physiological role.
Oh.
I can't remember offhand what it is, but
none of us can, apparently. It's too wild. Anybody would need a pubic hair.
Okay. My motto is no bush. Bush is out.
My guest is Dr. Heather Blylock. She's a medical doctor with a special interest in sexual health. She also believes in no bush. If you would like to send through any questions, you are welcome to. It is a lighthearted conversation this morning, just because our life is so serious at the moment, and we have to be able to take joy. Right, we have to look and say, you know what, sex is a wonder. It's an incredible, it's a tremendous sense of joy, right? And if it's not, well, how do we change that up? So we're talking this morning about vaginas. We're talking about everything you've wanted to know but have been too afraid to ask. And this is how you ask. You send through a text. Do not sign your name. But you send through a text on 34519. Absolutely anything goes. You can also send through on Telegram 061-895-1019. We're talking about the common myths, but really we are talking about those questions that you really just want to know about. There is a question that I have for you. We've got to take some ads.
Yeah.
But I'm going to give you the question and then we'll get the answer after the ad break. And here's the question. Unsigned says, are there natural remedies to take orally that will help restore the elasticity and lubrication of the vagina? I think that is a great question. And Dr. Blaylock is going to answer that.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
I'm Kathy Kayla, and this is 101.9 Chai FM, Dis-Chem Medical Monday. Today we're talking about all the common myths related to vaginal health. We are, certainly not me, but my guest, Dr. Heather Blaylock. She's a medical doctor with a special interest in sexual health, and she will answer absolutely any question that you have about the vagina. If you have a question that I'm not anticipating or asking, send through your question. Don't sign your name. Just put 34519. That is the SMS line, 34519. You can also send me a text on Telegram, and that is 061-895-1019. I'm absolutely fascinated to know that the whole pineapple story is true. So if you've missed that, it makes semen taste better. Is that what you said? Pineapple.
Yes.
Okay, so how does it work? Does it work the other?
Your local Woolworths is going to sell out of pineapples today.
Yes, and every day going forward, apparently. All right. So,
to answer the lady's question about taking in something oral for improving vaginal health, what we could include there is something is collagen.
Yes.
So because we rely on the cell called the fibroblast and the keratinocytes to produce collagen and elastin, by taking in collagen that we know is going to be absorbed properly systemically can help locally, but you have to take it consistently and you would only notice results after 3 months. Plus, local application, you actually get better results. So local application, for example, of hyaluronic acid. So hyaluronic acid is produced naturally by the body anyway for hydration and plumping purposes. So we have some products put together by the bio-identical pharmacies that contain hyaluronic acid. The other options are to use bio-identical hormones, which are also made by the compounding pharmacies. And these estrogens, testosterones, and progesterones match our natural hormones the closest.
All of this must really be done with medical supervision. This is not something where you can go to your local pharmacist and say, just whip me up some testosterone or whip me up some estrogen.
So we have to screen you. We do baseline blood tests. But the vulva has both estrogen and testosterone receptors. And into the lower third of the vagina as well. And so both of them are very important for nourishment and keeping that plumpness and healthy vulval and vaginal tissue. So those can be easily applied. Other medical options are what we term regenerative medical options, and those would include something like the vaginal laser or radio frequency machines where we put a probe into the vagina, which creates heat, and the heat stimulates the fibroblasts, and then the collagen turnover and thickens. Studies have now shown that the wall of the vagina can thicken. So then there's also what we call platelet-rich plasma. So we take your own blood, one or two vials of your own blood. We spin it in a centrifuge to spin out and separate the different blood products. And then we take the rich part of that, which is rich in growth factors and stem cells. And then we can inject that into the tissue. So into the vulva, into the vagina, for increased arousal, etc. We can also increase, inject the PRP where the supposed G-spot is, so the anterior third of the vagina, and into the clitoral tissue. So, yeah, so there are quite a few options. And then there's the medical options of what we know commonly as Premarin. And Premarin can be applied locally. We also get estrogen pessaries, which is like a little tablet you can insert into the vagina.
Yeah.
But really, local application is going to give you the best results for nourishing and nurturing that tissue.
Okay. Thank you very much. If you've got any questions for my guest, we're talking about the vagina, anything you've ever wanted to know, send through an SMS or a text. You can SMS 34519. You can also send through a text on 061-895-1019 on Telegram. Another unsigned question. Is squirting the same thing as peeing? Okay, well, apparently we just went right there.
It's a contentious issue. If we talk about women, we talk about squirting. If we talk about men, we have to talk about premature ejaculation. It okay. always comes up.
Well, can we talk about do women ejaculate?
Yes. So women and men in the embryo, we are made from the same tissue. So the clitoris and the penis. And so within the vagina, there are remnants of tissue that if we were going to be boys would be the prostate gland, for example. And so, and there's also other glands, Skene's glands, that can produce a fluid. And this is what they think is produced when women squirt.
Okay, interesting. Okay, wide-eyed looks from the men in the studio. All right, some other unsigned questions. What causes frequent discharge?
So all women have natural discharge, which changes over the course of their menstrual cycle. So sometimes it is clear, sometimes it is, you know, the long and sticky when you're ovulating. A bad discharge will smell bad. So a normal discharge should not smell bad. But if it smells bad, then it probably means that you have a potential bacterial vaginosis, which is not an STI, or you could have an STI, which would then need treatment.
How do you know? How do you know which is which?
So,
I mean,
bad smells equals bad bugs.
Okay. Well, that's simple. Bad smells or bad bugs. That makes sense. That makes sense. And you know what? I imagine that most women would know their bodies enough to know if a smell is different to what's normal or what's regarded as normal.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Most women do know.
Okay. Well, there you go. Some other myths that that I came across. Can tampons get lost inside your body?
No. So your vaginal canal is about 9 centimeters long, and it has a stop sign at the end of the tunnel, which is your cervix. So your cervix is the entrance into the uterus, but the cervix is closed unless you are in labor and about to deliver a baby. So your tampon can only go as far as the stop sign at the cervix.
Interesting. All right, I'm Kathy Kayla. This is Dis-Chem Medical Monday. If you've got any questions, you can send them through. 34519 is the text line, or 061-895-1019 on Telegram. My guest is Dr. Heather Blaylock. She's a medical doctor. She has a special interest in sexual health. And send them through. You don't have to sign your name. Don't worry about it. I just want your questions, because we have this doctor who's willing to answer absolutely any question from a male or female, any question that you might have about the vagina. So send it through, and we'll get to those right after this.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
You're on 101.9 High FM. This is Dis-Chem Medical Monday. I'm Kathy Kayla, and we've been talking for the last 45 minutes, actually, about the vagina. My guest is, she's a medical doctor. She has a special interest in sexual health. Her name is Dr. Heather Blaylock. And she said that she's willing to answer absolutely anything that you've ever wanted to know about the vagina, but have been too afraid to ask. Whether you are male, whether you're female, you just send a text. 34519 is the text line, or 061-895-1019. So, Dr. Blaylock, a myth. So this actually comes, I looked for myths around vaginas. And there's a myth that says there's something wrong with you if you don't have orgasms from vaginal sex. Is that true?
No, true myth.
What does that mean?
So two-thirds of women can only experience orgasm through clitoral stimulation, okay? And a third then of women can experience a vaginal orgasm. And this is because the vagina is essentially not sensitive tissue to that kind of stimulation. So, you know, the clitoris is 9 centimeters long.
No.
And it extends.
I didn't know that at all, actually. Nine centimeters long.
So, what you see on the outside is really the tip of the iceberg. It then has a little shaft that connects to your pelvic bone. And it then has two sets of erectile tissue legs. Okay, the one that goes down the sides of the vulva, and the other ones that go deeper and encircle the vagina. And that is where the so-called G-spot is where that clitoral engorged tissue is super sensitive and arousing on the anterior lower third of the vagina.
So you're talking about inside?
Inside.
So just for the men, can we clarify that a G-spot and a clitoris are not the same? They're different. I'm just saying.
No. Okay, so the G-spot is really a term that we give to the area in the vagina that is sensitive to sexual stimulation. And it used to be thought that it was a collection of nerve bodies, but after doing a lot of autopsies and MRIs on these bodies, it was found that actually it is the longer legs of the clitoris that encircle the vagina. So if you think of like somebody sitting on a horse.
Yes.
So your legs going around the horse. So if you think the horse's belly is your vagina, and then your legs are part of those clitoral arms.
So it's not just it's not a little button. It's actually it's
no
extended.
Yeah.
9 centimeters.
No, so the little button actually doesn't like too much attention, because it becomes irritated because it's too sensitive.
Mm.
And so men need, or your other female partners need, educating about this, because it's actually mostly the sides of the vulva where there is a lot of arousal type tissue, because that's where the first two arms of the clitoris extend down. And then also the little shaft that attaches onto your pubic bone, you can kind of like roll it under your finger, and that is also super sensitive. And so that is why if you're having heterosexual intercourse, if your male partner lies a little bit more up on the female partner, so we call that the coital alignment technique, or the cat position, when he's thrusting, he is able to also stimulate that top area of the vulva and the clitoral tissue.
Okay, hold on a second. Are you talking about the missionary position?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank God. Yeah. I had no idea what you were talking about. Okay.
But the man, I think next time I'm going to bring pictures for you, but the man has to lie a little bit more up so that there's more friction over the woman's pubic kind of area where the clitoral tissue is.
Yes.
So for the normal missionary position, if the man is just thrusting, I'm telling you, those women who are making those loud orgasmic noises are more than likely faking it, because having a vaginal only orgasm is pretty rare.
Dun, da, da, da. I think we could do an entire show on how to tell if she's faking. I think we should do that.
On how to tell if she's faking?
Yes.
I don't know. We'll have to ask them. We'll have to do like a couple's confession.
No, you know what? We're actually not that kind of a station. We just want people to have good sex. You know, following, you know, my suggestion, my producer's suggestion that we should talk for, you and I should talk for an hour on vaginal dryness. Uh-huh. No, we're not going to do that. Okay, you've got literally 3 minutes to send through any questions that you have for Dr. Blaylis, my guest, as you can hear, very open-minded, very professional, and very happy to answer your questions. You don't have to sign your name. 34519 is the text line, or 061-895-1019. Another question coming through: does your vagina get loose if you have a lot of sex?
No. Oh. No. So as I explained earlier, your vagina is a muscular tube. So when you feel inside and you feel like all those bumpy, rough edges, those are like rugae that enable the vaginal tunnel to extend with arousal, and then to also accommodate a penis or whatever, a dildo, and also to accommodate giving natural birth, a baby's head. So no, not having a lot of sex is not going to damage your vagina.
Yeah. What about having a lot of children?
So natural childbirth, absolutely yes, can cause problems in some women, not all women.
Okay. All right, fair enough. And Carol, thank you so much. She did sign her name. She says, morning, what an amazing program. So interesting. Everyone should listen to this. Well, I think every woman, both.
And the men.
Yes, especially the men. But you know what? I mean, if you're not having fun in the bedroom and you're not able to laugh and just, that's your safe space. It doesn't get more safe than that. And if that is not a safe space for you, then that's another conversation. And that's just my personal opinion. Like it's, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So for example, women in the menopause, post-menopause, need a longer time for foreplay, especially around this arousal and lubrication issue. And also there are some cultures they're patriarchal cultures where the men want to have dry sex.
Ooh.
So you can imagine for the female partner, it is really
No. So it's interesting because in the Jewish culture, it goes along with the woman's natural cycle. Right, so the pH of your body changes at different times of the month, and what happens is you know when a woman has her period, her and her husband separate. Like they separate, they cannot have sexual relations, they cannot even touch, right? And then once her period stops, you count 7 clean days, right, where there's no blood, and on the 7th day you go to a ritual immersion. Right, and it's a very special time for a woman because you know that you're going to be able to go back with your husband, that the two of you, you know, you've been building your non-intimate relationship, or actually your intimate relationship, your non-physical relationship for the past 2 weeks, right? He hasn't just gone off into yonder because you aren't available sexually. You're actually building your intimate relationship, and by the time that you know, the mikveh night comes along, you want to be with your husband. I mean, I've met couples who they even maintain that once the woman no longer has her period, just because it's healthy for the actual relationship to not only be about sex. You know, if we offered a buffet every meal, every day, we're going to get so bored with it. Right, but you're only allowed to have that buffet on special occasions. It's a different story.
Yes.
And it's the same with sex. Yeah. I think it's the same with everything.
But what you're saying is so important about building intimacy in different ways. Because the most important thing about having good sex is actually having good communication.
Yeah.
And so if you've got those 2 weeks where, you know, you can really be doing different things and sharing different moments and talking and, you know, and there's no pressure of a sexual encounter and the pressure of orgasm. And so that bonding, I think that is such a special bonding time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's amazing.
For a couple.
It's amazing. Mm-hmm. And you're amazing. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're amazing.
For today. It's really been very, very interesting. It's not the, you know, we've had a lot of interesting conversations between the two of us, and it won't be the last time that we do so on Chai FM. So thank you very, very much for your time and just for being so open about answering all our listener questions. Thank you so
You're
much.
You're most welcome.
It's Dr. Heather Blaylock. She's a medical doctor. She's got a special interest in sexual health, and she was answering your questions this morning. Absolutely fascinating. I feel like I have learned a ton. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much to Slick Seleke. Thank you so much to, he's my producer. Thank you very much to Craig Guthrie. He's the engineer. He's been sitting here blushing for the last hour. Have you noticed, Slick? Yeah, Slick Lontist. Anyhow, thank you so much for joining me. Thank you for your questions that you sent through. I wish you a wonderful week filled with moments of joy. And only moments, because if it was only joy, it would just not be joy. It would just be normal. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. God bless. Bye-bye.